Okay.
More French Revolution.
All right, let's move on.
Yes, with that, we're ready.
So again, I'm Donna Studner. I'm the Chief of Strategic Initiatives, and Charlie Kaufman is our Senior Strategic Planner. And we wanted to have a work session to update the board on where we are with lakefront planning. So the goal of it is just to put it in context with the reservation plans that we were done in 2013. So because the lakefront was acquired after this planning was put together, we're trying to bring it into the process. So we're following the same guidelines, the same process, taking it out to the public, having internal stakeholders meetings. And so this is all part of the strategic park planning that we're undergoing. So I'm going to have Kelly Kaufman kind of go through what we've done so far and the process we've been following, and to show you her draft conceptual plans.
So good morning. I'm thrilled to be here. Been working on these plans really since the moment I hit the ground here at Metro Parks. It was, in the first briefing I mentioned how much fun it was to go to public meetings and get all the compliments for the entire staff. It's fantastic to really see what these parks mean to the neighborhoods and how the change just, you know, with Metro Parks taking over has been phenomenal. I love this slide. It's one of the events at Edgewater. We had a lot of successful events across the lakefront, and that was another good part of the planning process, to really see how people use the parks, you know, what the existing facilities provide, and kind of get a sense of what's already in place. So, you know, taking over the lakefront is a fantastic fit with the key directions from the strategic plan. Green infrastructure, you know, obviously we have a major shoreline, we have the tributaries coming out to the lakefront, we have the parks themselves, some good opportunities there. The scale, you know, this gives us the opportunity to reach so many folks in neighborhoods in the Cleveland community, and then it's also a regional attraction. Cleveland and entering suburbs, you know, we've already seen the positive effects here, so it's exciting to see where we can grow that. The outdoor recreation opportunities, the greenway system, and providing some anchors down along the lakefront. Seeing how we can make these a sustainable part of our overall system is another key piece to the work we're doing. So when we look at the overall system, you know, the lakefront represents a little over 500 acres of our 23,000 acres. So we want to make sure that we're keeping the overall system in mind, and that the, as Donna mentioned, the reservation plans that we've done for the other parks, you know, we're kind of on the same page with that. And fulfilling these big picture goals with the lakefront. So as we talk about the lakefront, it's the 14 miles in the core of the community, stretching from Wildwood, Villa Angela, Nucla Beach on the east, across to the center of the county, and then to the west with Edgewater and Park.
You said 14 miles?
From edge to edge. Mm-hmm. So that's what our planning is focused on. Also the connections that we're beginning to develop down along the river with the proposed water taxi, Heritage Park, and Rivergate and Lawrenceport. So I think one of the pieces that really gets us excited as staff is taking that mission and taking those abstract concepts and connecting it to the people, making sure that we're serving our community, that people are coming out and enjoying the parks, learning about the natural world, engaging in active recreation, active activities here. So as we've worked with the stakeholder community, the internal stakeholders, we've taken those overriding key directions of the strategic plan and kind of targeted some guiding principles more directly to the lakefront. I love these photos because they really show, you know, what were folks doing 100 years ago at Gordon Park. You know, thankfully we don't have to wear our full-length white dresses out to the beach anymore. Right, but just, you know, showing, you know, I imagine 100 years ago people wouldn't imagine how popular stand-up paddleboarding is. And just that context that we need to be thinking 100 years in the future because these really are legacy parks. So, you know, starting with the basics, we need to have safe, clean parks. incorporating urban ecology and sustainability, getting people connected with the water. I'm amazed by the people in Cleveland who haven't been to the lakefront. You know, how can we draw those folks out, see them, you know, see the terrific resources? The Century Parks idea, where we're looking 100 years back, but we're also looking to the future. And enhancing access, both from the neighborhoods and through the region, to get folks out to the parks. And then the lakefront as a catalyst. Debbie, you might know a thing or two about this. So we've already seen positive effects, even in the short time that we've been managing the parks and the surrounding neighborhoods. So just growing from there. So the components that we're looking at are circulation. You know, we're looking at vehicles, bikes, pedestrians, trying to ease conflicts between those groups and make sure that it flows well. Core conservation areas. You know, at first glance, some of these areas, some of the parks we took over seem to be pavement, grass, water. You know, where are there some opportunities to build habitat or to supplement what we have? Connections, again, strengthening the neighborhood connections so folks can get to the parks without using a car, but also the regional connections so that we draw, you know, these are regional attractions. And hand in hand with that is the wayfinding. And by that we mean, I think, both within the park, that when you arrive at the park, you can kind of sense, you know, where the activity areas are, kind of find your way around, and from outside neighborhoods and the, you know, the routes in. Activity hubs, we want to extend people's visits as long as we can, and you'll see those in some of the conceptual plans, that we don't want it to be, I came, I went to the beach, I left. We want to extend the visits, activate the parks as much as we can. Outdoor recreation opportunities, and then how all these activities inform what sorts of facilities we need, what sorts of improvements need to be made. The process has been a lot of fun. Doing the analysis, doing the site visits, meeting with the internal stakeholders. We have such great internal experts that inform the plans. And it's kind of fun because I get to take credit for a lot of the good ideas, but you know, a lot of my favorite things came from our stakeholder meetings. So you know, we talked in general about this effort several months ago. We presented to the chiefs. We continue to work with the stakeholders. And so from this point, once we gather some input from you today, taking these plans out to the public, we're shooting for maybe the week after Thanksgiving, you know, that first week of December, to try to get more input so we can finalize these plans and use them as guidance for, you know, implementation. Mm-hmm. So here's the fun part, starting to talk about our plans. And just a little bit about the format. We used an aerial photo as a base and just kind of, you know, sketched the ideas out and laid them on the top. And then the images on both sides are just kind of character images to help portray what some of the ideas are. You know, there's obviously give and take as these plans would move forward, but just to help illustrate, you know, what some of the thoughts are. So I'm going to say it now because I might forget and get caught up in the moment. Obviously, the huge thing is the lake on all these plans, the water. But each of the parks has a special character to it. So here at Euclid Creek, we want to focus some of the attention back on the creek. There's already been some good work done to enhance that riparian corridor. We want to improve some access to the creek for fishing. You know, make sure people understand the importance of Euclid Creek. And that also ties into this being part of Euclid Creek Reservation, you know, that we do have the additional portion of the reservation upstream. So within the Euclid Creek Lakefront, we have wildwood, which is really heavily used by boaters, fisher, people fishing. I avoid the fisherman thing. Fisher people, I can't quite say that either though. Right? So you know, we have wildwood that sees a lot of that activity. Villa Angela, the start of a nice woodland there, gives kind of a different feel. Obviously, Euclid Beach is very scenic, very beautiful. And then the Euclid Beach Park area, which has that legacy that is really important to some of the folks we've been talking to. So just kind of glancing through some of these character images. There's a small mound in this area that has been talked about, you know, maybe we enhance that, maybe we prolong activity and provide some sledding there. Sean's work on the pier, what sort of activities take place around the pier, how can we draw folks out on the water. Every time I go out there, I'm surprised how windy it is. So we've looked at, you know, potentially if we do a shelter building, maybe we do some of those great glass garage doors so that you can accommodate, again, stretching the season, getting as much use as possible. And then the idea of just places for people to sit and observe the lake. These shaded bench swings were used at a park down in Cincinnati, but our group really thought that's a great idea. So the historic aspects, you know, there was a historic fountain down on the beach. And so maybe there's a way that we can replicate some of that feel. And that's one thing we've talked about a lot, is nodding to some of that history and heritage without necessarily replicating it exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, so how can we do that with a little sophistication, maybe?
Is that a problem, or was it a problem with interaction, or was it just a problem with the
People swam kind of in the, waded in the surrounding water. And then this example has, you know, it's just in the middle of a plaza, so it's an interactive feature, too. Yeah.
It was originally a swing, though. I mean, it was actually originally a swing. It was a feature where people, you know, they swung around. I mean, it was
around the fountain.
The fountain wasn't there. I think the fountain was the second iteration.
It was a pole.
And like the chairs that you would sit in with the music parts, and people went around and around. So there's a lot.
Well, they didn't dump them like they did the sand.
I don't think they did.
That's definitely pre-liability. expand the use here. One of the great ideas that's already been brought forward is the idea of a trail bridge here, so that we have this waterfront promenade that's really one of the main, you know, highly used areas through the park, so that we can connect folks that are visiting the Yucca Beach area. They can enjoy this whole beachfront in front of Villa Angela, crossover, and, you know, if they're trail riders, perhaps ride the APT through this part of the park, but if they're interested in kind of ambling along the waterfront, you know, continue here, and do some things to enhance the pedestrian or the visitor experience within kind of this primarily parking lot area. So maybe doing some sort of plaza near the existing buildings, doing some kind of themed play area, activating this. Another piece of the concept is we see so many walkers, folks out with their dog. You know, the neighborhood really uses this park, so we've looked at enhancing the trail system and making sure that we have a series of loops for folks to use. Kayak and canoe access, I think it's exciting to see what we can do with this kind of cleaned up creek, you know, providing some fishing access with some simple docks. But again, just, you know, trying to connect the different parts of the park and provide amenities to get people to extend their stay. So I should have said at the beginning, I'm happy to, you know, have discussion at any point. Are there any comments about the initial ideas here?
Any discussion with Northeast Shore about NEF? Connector and the bridge that got taken out over on 90.
Yeah, I think there's a number of things. Certainly, Councilman Valencia, he's been in. I think, Joe, we briefed him, less than a month ago?
Yep.
Joe was with us. So I think there's always some tie-ins to what's going on. I mean, this is one, you know, we're kind of focused in on the land base here. But then I think if you pull back, as Kelly had put, you know, it is part of the bigger picture. And one of the connections that Donna, team, Jim Costello, you know, they had been working on is the connection, how do we get the green ribbon connected through? And so that's one of the concepts that's still out there as well, how do we actually make the green connection? And what I like about what Kelly's doing with these is, again, these are draft plans, so they can be moved and tweaked, and when we take them to the public, we want sticky notes and comments. But she's really put the visuals, the A, the B, the C, the D, so it actually, it visualizes more of just putting something on a plan. It actually helps invoke at least some imagery of what it could be. And again, this has been very consistent with what we've done in our other reservation plans of, you know, Strawberry Pond, this is just a continuation.
But let me persist. I mean, are we going to include in this either a chapter or some section that talks about linking the existing Euclid Creek?
The answer is yes. It actually was in it would have been in the original Euclid Creek reservation plan. And so it's not shown here because this was really kind of the lakefront side.
Sure.
But the answer is yes, because it was part of one of the demands on connecting the reservation.
Because it would seem to me that that's an area where many people really can't, people just don't read maps, they don't visualize what the physical connection could be across that whole span of railroad tracks.
It's tough to see.
And Sarah Meyer has actually been working with the city of Cleveland and Marty Cater over there to implement that. So the city of Cleveland has set aside some money for that. So they are working on that almost monthly. They have meetings around the field.
Good.
They're trying to figure out a way to, you know, make that happen. So that is a very active project.
I think the other component too, both Don and I have sat in with Mayor Cervenic and Mayor Cervenic's team over in Euclid as well, and we're actually talking with Paul Pelagi and his group that are working on their pier concept of lake. So again, there's a lot of conversation going on how we're actually reconnecting with the waterfront. And so I think that's good because there's some similarities and some connection points.
But does NOAACA get into any of that? Or?
Yeah, actually we presented to NOAACA what the overall concept were, and then ODOT is also involved with the bridge, and so we're trying to stay involved with ODOT to put some wayfinding or something kind of unique on that bridge to kind of like, I mean, there's not too many bridges where you can go to the park on both sides,
yeah,
you know, as
yeah.
part of a reservation. So we're trying to get out there early on and make a difference.
And then finally, regional sewer?
Ongoing conversations, yeah.
And those are all connected.
Yeah, and also Euclid Creek Watershed Group, they're very involved on the Euclid Creek corridor. So they are more than willing to help us partner as we work on the corridor, if there's some restoration opportunities.
There's actually Trust for Public Land is actually involved as well. There's a piece of land that maybe, I wouldn't say orphaned, but maybe an opportunity to highlight as well. So,
okay.
So I have a question. I think all of this activity is fantastic, but I guess the one thing I missed, did we, I know you said you talked to stakeholders and you certainly talked internally, did we have public meetings to start to kind of get some of these ideas of these uses, and now we're going to go back and say, here's what we're going to put them, or?
That early March, we did have a series of, we had a public meeting over in the Detroit Shoreway area, and we had the public meeting at the Collin and Park Center
okay.
to invite the community in to hear
kind of
your ideas.
To vision of what you want, how
right.
you want to use the park.
Right.
It actually goes back to even when we started with the process of actually taking
prior
over the layout. So
okay.
when we did, so when we talked stakeholders, it may have been the Discovery Dive Group, or it may have been the CDC, or it may have been any number of folks, Land Studio helped facilitate. So this is what I would call an ongoing continuum is a great word of the work. And part of it is the balance of, okay, pre-getting it
uh-huh.
to where we're at, and then now having it for a certain period of time and developing it, and then now moving it forward to what can it be. And again, we have to look at this is not something that's going to happen one and two or three.
Sure.
This is what the park could look like, and I think that's the development, the evolution of the other parks. So.
It's still really doable. And I love this format too. I think that, again, having these visuals really helps you understand what these things could be. And then I also just want to comment on those bench swings. I think that's a really cool idea. I don't know if it's Savannah or Charleston, but one of them has like a big pier with those swings. It's such a crowd, you know, pleaser. It's so relaxing and to be near the water. So.
But I think it's a postscript. I mean, this particular frontage, because we have much on the west side,
mm-hmm.
we definitely have a downtown presence with the river. But really on the east side, this is it.
At this right.
To be able to target and
yeah.
really get people.
But this is so much, and I think it serves so many different needs and desires of people because there's quiet spaces, there's active spaces, there's trail spaces.
Yeah.
It's really terrific.
It's good. And these are kind of works in progress. We are working with Olin to look at green infrastructure opportunities specifically.
Good.
So we'll have kind of an overlay that focuses on that. That's part
sure.
of the plan. And as we, you know, gather the public input, these plans will evolve and have kind of a more
solid,
crisp look. But we feel like these sketches are maybe a little more accessible.
Yeah.
Olin was in probably a week ago, and the team spent a good day and a half, almost 2 days with them. And what I was really impressed is their breadth and knowledge of things and different projects and how they handle things and how it can relate to what we're doing here, which was, again, one of our core drivers as we were moving into this next plan. When we look at, you know, the parking lots that we've done and some of the work, we're actually doing a lot of it,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is great, but now is how does it overlay into all of the reservations, big picture, as if we're doing modifications.
Right. Well, I'd be very anxious to see how the community, you know, responds to this, but I think it's fantastic.
I think it's already pretty positive.
Yeah, but are you really seeing a plan and, you know,
oh, yeah.
the details
yeah.
of,
yeah.
right, where it can go and how it can work?
Well, with that, I think I'll just kind of head west. So the Cleveland Lakefront Nature Preserve, the port's been a great partner, and this is obviously a fantastic attraction to have. adjacent to the property under our direct control. I love the location of this too, at the terminus of MLK, and then 72nd also provides a nice neighborhood connector. But there is a challenge that we're actually seeing in several of the parks that it's just kind of a linear frontage. So what we've done is tried to focus on, and these are a couple great ideas that I didn't come up with, so I can brag on them fully, but the idea of a connector bridge here, so that you could actually have lakefront bike lane, long lake, cross over, have this drawing that would be so fantastic, and then continue on your way or loop back to try to, you know, connect this as an area. And then the other thing that we found is this lakefront management center is kind of by itself up there at the top of the hill, and if you don't know where you're going, it can be a little tricky. So another idea that came out of the process is an entry drive actually that's a little more visible that would come up the hill somewhat in the vicinity of the existing APT, and then utilize that existing parking, but you know, create this as a hub of activity as well. This is a great site here on the hillside with views down into the, you know, this little cove and out to the lake. So we've looked at, you know, maybe that's a great site for a shuttle. We know a lot of the folks in the neighboring communities like to use the parks for family gatherings, big reunion type things, and that would be a great rental facility for events like that. It would also serve for public programs associated with the Lakefront Management Center and being directly adjacent. I guess this fence row here is kind of the most active. I've had birding 101 from Jen Barfield, so it's been a lot of fun, but that's one of the most active parts of that entire nature preserve. So moving a little further west, you know, this is such a popular area for boaters, and we've seen a huge increase in activity in those areas since they're now secure places to park. Mm-hmm. You know, you go out on the lake and your car will still be in one piece. Mm-hmm. But maybe supplementing that, taking the existing restroom, you know, adding more of a picnic area feel here. Again, trying to extend that stay, that if you come here to boat, maybe you'll stay and have a picnic, and that other folks will feel free to use this parking and utilize this area. We also really want to make it a seamless transition from our areas to the Lakefront Nature Preserve. We'd love to take this fence down and make it a more welcoming experience with other ways to access.
Is that possible to take the fence down? What is the issue
there? I will say, since I, you know, at least in 4 years, you know, it long been said that it would never open, and now it's open.
Right.
And now there's trails, and now there's viewing decks. And so I think a lot of things have really moved forward. I think some of the perception was of being able to control who's on and who's not.
Right.
And then I've also had conversations with them, said, we have 23,000 acres that are unimpeded. And so, you know, I think it's one of those things where this was very different for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just taken some time to have it evolve. And certainly we would like to see the barrier removed. I think it would seem more seamless at that point in time.
Boy, with the bridge there.
It's more inclusive.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of one of the things. You know, one of the themes that we'll start to hear as we go into Wendy Park or other areas, you know, the community sailing aspect of things, you know, can we keep a component of that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's some very unique things that are starting to really, you know, activate some of these spaces. So certainly the fence is one of those next level components that I think could get done. And certainly we've had very good success with Bracknell and City of Cleveland and our Rangers making sure that, you know, all are safe.
Yeah.
How about the fence with the barracks there?
Well, that is an interesting site. There is less than 30 acres that's, you know, there, that does have some, you know, long history. We believe it's in the Department of Defense. It's an administrative type building and function. And so I think there's some, you know, commentary on, you know, could it be utilized potentially different? So.
Okay, we're okay.
And what about that bridge? How doable is that with the length and whatever height you need to have? I don't know, are there sailboats in that basin?
Well, it talks about conceptual plan.
Yeah.
So.
I know you have your design.
Take a look at the sky open.
Well, I mean, the one at, you know, North Coast Harbor obviously has to be movable because of the safe harbor. Do we have any of those same issues here? Is it?
Yes. I mean, it's a inner city yacht club, is still, you know, they're functioning out of the basin there. They do, and you know, we allow for, certainly not a lot of sailboats get put in, it's more power up with fishing vessels, that type of thing. But I think it's how could we, you know, could we build up to it because of the break wall there? Could the break wall serve as part of protection for the yacht club area and, you know, actually build it over the top? I don't know from, you know, from the height of water to, yeah. We would like to not have it manned because the one levee down there is going to go up and down. So I think that we'd like to stay away from. So again, water levels and other things we'll have to take into account. But I think it's representative of people wanting to connect to the water, no different than the concepts, you know, going on Marginal along East 55th and or Edgewater, the work that we're trying to do with ODOT.
I think it's a fantastic idea. And then one other question, would that then, I know today bikes are not allowed on the nature preserve, would that sort of push that concept? Are we thinking about that, or do we really feel it should still be pedestrian only? Because once you take the fence down, that's going to sort of impact. I know there was a lot of back and forth with the birding folks and others that.
I would think we would keep it more natural. I mean, that's I think what we would like to represent. It's interesting, there is a lot of biodiversity there, not all of it is exactly what's desirable.
Sure.
So I think that is some of the next level of, you know, it's something again that was closed and now open. So I think, you know, if we see its paradigm, you know, over the next 10 years, you know, can areas be remediated and returned? You know, we're talking with Jen, natural resources, and I mean, it's an 80-acre site. It's not a small piece of land. 88, and so it's developed over time. So I think it's how does that, you know, what does the next years look like?
What's the continuum?
Yep.
And I think, you know, from a design standpoint, we can certainly build in those cues. You know, there's a certain type of pavement type that is APT and is, you know, approved for bikes, and then we can have signage and more primitive. I'm hopeful. So just to touch real quickly on the area at the end of 72nd, we see a lot of use out of that area. We see a lot of use of the fishing platforms. And this is a place where we do see people from the neighborhood riding bikes or walking and see some families. And so we'd like to supplement, you know, give some more activities for folks to do. And it can be fairly simple, you know, maybe some kind of nature-based play areas. I've gotten teased, you'll see about three different versions of just some terrace seating with views to the water. Because I think, you know, even if you want to bring your book and sit and watch the lake, you know, it can accommodate all sorts of uses. Add to that with, you know, a few shelters and restrooms, and there are projects, you know, already in process with Sean's group to really enhance what's there.
I've seen people sitting on the rocks and break wall, you know, reading or something.
Yeah.
Right, they want to get close. And you really do see people coming from 72nd because it's not really connected well to any neighborhood. You know, I mean, it's still a long stretch of more industrial.
And the city's done that improvement where they've done an actual buffered bike lane.
Right,
the
bike lane.
So
yeah.
I think we're, you know, we're making steps.
How about from Gordon Park directly, connectivity again?
There's that existing footbridge. I actually haven't braved it yet.
Oh yeah, that's a scary proposition. Yeah.
Just take some friends.
Right, and then the. Yeah, I think we can do some work to improve the underpass experience here. We've talked internally and you know, broached the subject with ODOT about
decking.
Not that far. I love that idea, but just some tweaks to these interchanges that, you know, these interchanges need to be upgraded anyway. And
well,
as that happens,
together.
So we'll add decking to the list.
But as it grows, I'm thinking that these are the things that. People see there's more activity and what seemed far-fetched one day may.
And I love that heritage aspect that, you know, this part of Gordon Park has been there for 100 years, and actually this was part of the original landform. I originally thought it was, you know, perhaps fill, but this is part of the original Gordon Park. You'll see the trees out there and it has kind of a different character.
Yeah.
And to really try to link those would be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, kind of continuing west, we have the APT connection here, the lakefront bikeway. That's not technically under our control, but it serves as a great link for bikers and pedestrians. And takes us here to East 55th. There are some changes underway, I'll just mention briefly, but with the lakeshore power plant being taken offline, the warm water releases that really generated a lot of fishing activity there are kind of going away. And so, you know, we're kind of observing, they were greatly reduced last year, but seeing what sorts of impacts that may bring. So East 55th has some great qualities. Some of the challenges there are difficult connection to the neighborhood. You can kind of brave the East 55th overpass. There is a nice strong connection with the Lakefront Bikeway, but looking at what we can do to maybe enhance that, I think one of the great components, you know, the views to the city from out of the point are fantastic. So looking at creating more of an activity hub out at that point, enhancing the trail along the breakwater, because those are some fantastic views. Doing what we can to enhance that existing heavily used fishing along these edges, I think would be good. So here's another version of kind of shaded swings. You know, the waterfront trail. Thinking about what we can do to extend the season. It's funny because I will admit I had some rose-colored glasses about the lakefront. It's cold. I'm going to sit out there in the winter.
Nice breezes.
Right, exactly. Pretty much any time. So that's been a learning experience, and I think will continue to be a learning experience, but pushing the envelope to see what we can do to extend the season.
That's a great idea, though, like fire pits. And you're right, it is cold, but if you provide enough amenities, then, you know, you can't still use it.
Yeah, so
there is not access all the way out to the east there today, correct? And obviously not to the north.
To the west one?
Here?
Over here, yeah, all that, and then over here to the right. That's not, you can't get all the way.
You can
build.
Yes. You can get out there, it's a little rough, and then...
That was rebuilt.
This has been rebuilt, so that's in pretty good shape.
We've actually walked this section from F to F. Actually, Joe and I walked it. Probably in our suits, probably a month and a half ago, and we got all the way out of the point. And this is an amazing viewscape, and the buffering and the protection from the breakwall and everything—it's actually fairly well defined. And so I think that would be, again, when you see basically the fishing activity stops really right about here. It's a tough connection. So one of the things we've talked about, you know, can we work on, you know, in this phased approach to, you know, bring this all the way out here. Which is, again, really, really unique opportunity. We've also talked about, you know, we've been in conversation with a lot of folks about recreation opportunities and using this area is paved at this point in time. And so, you know, trying to balance potentially some sort of more recreation activity, i.e. a volleyball league or something to help balance that area and provide something on the east side, which we haven't had for a number of years. So I think, again, there's some unique opportunities. This is a parking lot park. And so I think if we can find ways to start taking some of that back out and allowing for it, again, there's other plans that this will be renovated. The Cleveland, one of the boats is over in here. So this park has got some very unique things. And this is run by Cleveland Metro Park. So again, a unique opportunity.
And the other thing that's not on the slide we finally have is that stretch from 55th West. I hope we're working with the city on trying to.
Is that the...
I mean, it's a horrible experience.
Right by the Aviation High School?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
And I know that's not ours to control, but it does need to be improved in that connection from downtown.
Yes.
So I'll just touch on a few other things quickly, and we'll continue to kind of head west. Again, incorporating some components that are decorative and enjoyable for the whole population, but also if you've got kids that are dying, you know, they're at the lakefront, if they're dying to get wet, there is some interaction with water. Supplementing habitat where we can to blur that line and to create more value for all the migratory birds. Here's another version of terrace seating. And one of the things I like about that too, not only is it a place where you can have some solitary time, but that's a great place for a program to meet and be able to listen to it.
Yeah, sure.
And then enhancing, you know, we've had some success with the East 55th, and how do we continue to build on that, as Brian said, and maybe part of that is enhancing the outdoor experience, getting that waterfront component, and then also with the addition of some courtesy docks so that we can have some folks kind of go through their using transit. So I'll just go ahead and continue on. Wendy Park has been a lot of fun to work with. There are so many dedicated folks, advocates for Wendy Park, and they come from so many different kind of user groups. So we have, you know, we have the boaters that love Wendy Park, we have the volleyball leagues, the birders. So our planning really needs to be able to accommodate all those Wendy Park fans. And then the other interesting thing about Wendy Park is it's such a kind of a hub of activity, such a nexus as we bring these different trail projects online. So with the Lake Link Trail, this is the proposed route, and this is the proposed perhaps cantilever bridge at Willow Street, and then the additional bridge over the railroad tracks. So we look at the opportunity to bring folks that may have been riding, you know, maybe for days, maybe from the southern end of the state, up to the lakefront and really have a kind of a grand experience with an overlook here. The water taxi that we're so excited about. So here's the existing, the first phase area, and then we could potentially bring them up to the area of the former Coast Guard station, or maybe there's a spot where we could dock along the river, but to give that added connection and really make Wendy Park kind of the landing point to continue on west to Edgewater as well. I think it's funny to get a site like Wendy Park, because I think really what's up to us is to steward a lot of what's there, to organize it, and to, you know, just enhance it a little bit, but it's got all those core fantastic things. So that's really the main view I'd have on Wendy Park. I think, you know, the opportunity to get a trail connection along the waterfront and continue west is a huge piece, but there's already so much going on out there between the marina activity, the bird life, and the folks that use it for sports leagues. Just enhancing that with some picnic facilities, enhancing the habitat that's there, I think we'll have a great park.
So that's interesting. You didn't mention that boardwalk link to the Coast Guard station.
I love the idea of the boardwalk link. That's a
challenging.
That's a challenging implementation piece.
But I mean, it's cool because you're out on the water. But again, just really improving that whole shoreline experience and getting you to the actual, pier.
You built
it also
that slope back from the beach.
If you think back a number of years prior, when Land Studio commissioned the original study, that was actually going to be an estuary area in there, and that's one of a prime fishing locations as well. And so I think it's how do we blend and balance that, with the site that is currently there, adding complementary features. People love to connect with the water. And so I think, how do we bring either kayaking in or sailing or some of the other components to really activate the space? Because right now it's an inactive space. Mm-hmm. And so, is there an education component with the Coast Guard station? Certainly we've talked about the historic tax credit opportunities and some models that could potentially return the Coast Guard station and the linkage along the Federal Channel there. So I think it's, as much as we may like some of the things, the weather may dictate what gets to stay and what actually gets built. If you look at the pier that we'll show down at Edgewater, it used to have, a T, it looked like a T, mm-hmm. and those actually came off. And so, building it properly, certainly some of the design features have changed over time as we look at Euclid Beach Pier to make sure that it could withstand the elements. So I think that's the balance we have to have. And part of it is that, we haven't maintained this property yet. The benefit we have at some of the others is now we've been engaged with them for a year and a half. We know more about it. So here it's...
We're still learning.
And I think we're trying to put some more of the components together. I like the way the trails start to flow and the concepts to bring people in and out of the park.
I think that's something we have to always be upfront with the public about this too, that there are challenges that are beyond our control, with weather and waves and other things, and I don't think people always understand that.
Yeah, it's interesting. The flushing activities that happen when the heavy rainstorms, if you look at that area where the arrow is, where it says marsh habitat, that is a very highly concentrated area of woody material.
Yeah.
And so when you look at the magnitude of what, it all gets stacked up in there.
Yeah.
And so I think the last thing you'd want to do is build something and have it either torn out by that. And so I think that's one of the access points we look at. How do we keep it clean? Because it starts to pile up.
What I'm saying, there's something elevated, but back in hugging the slope, still make that curve, but you're protected better.
And there's a, you know, it's not represented here, but that's a C and G on the map of the Lake View Hill. That's a tremendous grade change throughout the entire park. So, you know, the terraced lawn or amphitheater was very consistent with the former plan. I don't think we want to do a lot with that. Certainly the birding component, there are a number of species of trees down there. They may not all be desirable for, you know, bird habitat and resting and refueling. So I think it's like trying to blend all of that and then complement the sand volleyball to put a trail so that it's, again, another active space versus just something that was kind of put into the park and evolved over time, as well as how we bring people where it says to Edgewater, the linkage that goes around the marina and the flow of the marina. So I think it's, I really like the way Kelly put, you know, organizing some of the activity. It's got a great kind of, you know, character. And so now it's how do we, you know, how do we shrink that just a little bit?
And what's the status of the connector bridge at the moment?
That is in process right now. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we have 4 RFQs that are back. And so our goal is to interview the, I believe, all 4,
okay,
within the next...
Design build, or
I believe it is a design build.
Are we talking just the tracks? Are we talking tracks and all?
So it's a combination. Again, we're trying to coordinate with the city. There is funding available. So we did buy the work that the Cuyahoga County had done for $1. So we own all of the rights, all the work that was done to this point. So the Rosales Bridge with their group is one of the RFP respondents, as well as Baker and a number of others. So our goal is to take it from 4 probably to 2 or 1 if there's a leader, and then continue that process as we're working with Trust for Public Land, Land Studio, the City of Cleveland, Port, and others on the fundraising component of it. It will take some time. We've had preliminary conversations with the railroad. There's also conversations with the Skylift team. They still will want to potentially connect there somehow from some of the things that are going on in downtown. So this is, and again, we take the property, you know, all closes well on the 17th of December. So we're ramping up for a lot of those activities.
Is this a 2016 deadline?
This is not a 2016 deadline. This is, the bridge itself is going to take some time. I mean, the positive part is that, again, the partnerships that we forged with the county, being able to get all of that work, I think, moved us ahead a little bit. But then I think is again, balancing the architecture with the cost, you know, so that will be associated with putting it there. And then how does it work with the Willow Street Bridge? Certainly we have very active businesses, as we've had before the board, whether it be Cargill, Ontario Stone. And so we want to be mindful of that. So I think there's a lot of balance yet between getting that done. Can the bridge handle the cantilever side? They've done some nice upgrades to it. Then you're beholden to the bridge and the operation of that. And so there's a couple of land acquisitions that need to have. We've talked about letting a contractor start cleaning up the from Lakeview Terrace back up to probably just south of Mulberry to start to see what the old rear corridor looks like. So I think there's some things in process right now.
Thank you.
So
I'm going to Edgewater. In looking at the different kind of personalities along the lakefront, Edgewater is just kind of the signature spot. That's the best known. Mm-hmm. It functions so well for events. Did you have a chance to see any of the unicycle or?
I kind of gathered the end of it. So.
It was the energy was just fantastic. You know, let alone, you know, the experiences at Edgewater Live. It's it's just, you know, a great spot. So what can we do to kind of enhance what's there? We're talking with Sean's group, and they're doing a great job on the beach house, which is obviously going to be a huge focal point. You know, somewhere in the vicinity.
Somewhere
we're having a good time, kind of, you know, evaluating the pros and cons along this edge. We have that investment in the existing parking, so keeping that parking, doing what we can to make it flow better. Seeing what opportunities we have for green infrastructure. We actually have a great system right now that the lawn works really well for overflow parking. So we're really fortunate that was built pretty well.
Yes.
But with the, you know, the changes that are already online really are going to be great improvements, you know, to have the roundabout come in. And looking at ways, you know, potentially we can enhance some of the circulation here.
Maybe there's an opportunity to reconfigure some of the existing parking to get a bigger contiguous lawn space. But then again, just what are the things we can do to tweak to make the visitor stay more enjoyable and possibly extend it? So one of the things we talked about, can't really do the palm trees, but perhaps some low walls, some showers near the beach, outdoor seating with water views. Again, extending the season with some fire. We kind of liked the juxtaposition of fire and water with this one. It's kind of fun. When we do playgrounds, adding some thematic elements that really speak to the sense of place. I don't know that a shipwreck is the most chipper thing, but doing something that really recalls the Lake Erie heritage. Again, you'll see the swings, the terrace seating. Maybe we can make some changes to the pier to help activate it, to make it a little bit more of a pleasant experience. And maybe it's something as simple. This is from a beach trip I took, and they had beer and popsicles. I mean, it's just a little shack out on the pier. So maybe there's something like that can happen. Maybe we can extend the pier as well. We looked at a structure that could be kind of a landmark if we go that route, that would have overlooks, but also have restroom and concession capability to get folks out on this point. And then you have the views to the lake, the great views of downtown, all the activity here at the marina and yacht club. And then keeping the focus too on trails, bringing the trail connection in from Wendy Park, in from the neighborhoods and these various areas, providing the opportunity to ride right along the lake shore. And then we do have the benefit of the existing ODOT project relocating part of that APT. So, it's just kind of keeping this framework that's already in place and enhancing it. This is how I would summarize some of the opportunities at Edgewater Beach.
Is it true that some of the break wall has ship pieces that would take other ships' boats, or is that not a true story?
I know in other areas there were actually freighters that were sunk.
Yeah, just when you said that about the playground and the shipwreck or whatever, it could be an educational piece as well, that if that's really, if that's the truth and you can tell that story, then it can be something, again, it's interesting to hear, but also educational.
And that's one thing that Wendy's done a great job of bringing up as we have, our stakeholder meetings, is adding those layers of meaning to whatever we do so that there's a story to tell.
And again, maybe having like a freighter and a tug and boats that are more neat to the room or something like that.
Am I wearing you guys out?
No, this is awesome.
Okay, good. That's a lot of fun for me, definitely. So here we go. We're wrapping up with Edgewater Bluffs. And to me, the piece, I had the benefit at some of these sites of being, new to Cleveland, a new visitor, and some of my first impressions were fairly strong. And that was that I just felt the bluffs in the beach area are really kind of disconnected. If you're at one and you don't know about the other, you may not venture out and discover it. And in some places, even the bluff area is a little disconnected from the beach and from those great views. So the two big ideas to help address that here are, do we have an opportunity here at this Perkins Overlook to maybe pull that pavement back? And this is kind of a rough sketch, but if we pull the cars back so that the cars would be further from the edge, then we get a place for people to stand and enjoy the view. We also could improve lakefront access that we could connect to a trail connection. There's potentially the opportunity to grade this down so that we could get vehicular access down here for maintenance and for emergency access while creating an amenity. And this point is really visible from users over at the beach. So maybe it's something that would draw, folks that really came to the beach for the day, oh, we're going to explore the park, we're going to travel along this trail and see what's down here. And, maybe help activate. I don't see Perkins Beach becoming nearly as active as this area, but maybe we'll draw more, more folks that want to go explore that part of the park. Another idea kind of along those same lines, using this historic pavilion that's so gorgeous as an anchor, maybe we do a little plaza in front and kind of a grand staircase theme. Again, I just pulled images that kind of evoke, this wouldn't be exactly like it, but traversing, and it's going to be challenging. I mean, I think there's 40 feet of fall, so it's a lot of stairs.
But, you know, whether that's kind of this grand staircase experience that becomes kind of a focal point, it becomes a place where I can see a lot of senior photos, you know, wedding photos taking place there with the lake in the background. But becomes a feature kind of in and of itself that folks can sit on the steps. It sounds like I'm a big sitter and reader, which that may be true, but views to the lake, kind of enhancing the experience. And then we have such a great core here, you know, just keeping that, maybe adding a few things to increase the options that are available. And that might just be, you know, shelter and another kind of themed playground here. Looking at ways that we can kind of clean up the walk along the beach and increase this connection. And I think the other idea that we've thrown about too is there a way to improve some of the vehicular circulation here? There might be an opportunity opening up with the state vacating this current exit ramp that we could bring a new entry road here. I think there are some benefits definitely to being kind of overwhelmed by the view of the lake as you drive in this way, but that's just another thing we've been talking about. So that's kind of just a quick summary of, you know, the ideas that we've been floating around, and I'll just kind of touch on the historic stable really quickly, because I love that facility. It's just so isolated. I think the kind of the best approach to that is the direction we talked about, the kind of stabilizing the building, using that for equipment storage and just kind of park operations.
Can it be used for the like special event kind of things? I mean, I know it's difficult to run, we call it a museum or an interpretive center or something like that, but not staffed all the time. Just, I don't know, it is just a really cool building, and I know that probably is more work and more money, but it just seems a shame to not use it more for the public as opposed to just for storage.
I think we're considering all things.
Yeah.
The challenge is that when you get down there, it doesn't even really work well. It's extremely close to the railroad track. I mean, it can't be more than 10 feet from it. So, there's just some unique features of it. So, yeah.
It's a really cool building.
Yeah, we'll keep thinking about it because there's so many challenges.
How is its condition? Is it salvageable as a building that you would?
We've shored it up. Did we not put a roof on it, Joe?
Yeah, we shored it up. We fixed the roof just in time.
We brought it along. We didn't want it to. I mean, we didn't want it to not be an asset for the community, mm-hmm. not knowing what it would have been. It was leaking and it had other issues. So we've tightened the building up. I don't believe we have any more break-ins to it. But you know, it's got a strong history in Cleveland of what it was used for.
Is there anything in it now or not?
No, just garbage.
So
yeah.
So to kind of wrap up on this piece of Edgewater. We do have this great lawn space that is a good secondary event space as well. So we have these, you know, different facilities around this area, and it was neat to see how this functions, and people just intuitively actually do the overflow parking themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, so this accommodates a lot of the, you know, the major event use when the beach is heavily used, but it definitely has a draw in and of itself that we could schedule events up here in the Bluffs area as well.
Great job.
That's great.
Again, I think these are great to get feedback. Again, conceptual. We'll take them out to the not only the CDCs, but the councilmen in the area.
It's very tangible.
Again, really taking a look at how these could function. And this is not, you know, something that's happening in the next, some of it is, but not all of it will happen in the next, you know, 5-10 years. So
well, it's nice you then start getting a sense of prioritizing and putting a time frame.
Correct.
Thank you.
That concludes the work session. We need a motion to go into the executive session.
Yes, is there a motion to go into the executive session for the purposes of acquiring and purchasing real estate and also to discuss litigation?
And second, and again, for everyone's benefit, in the executive session, we do it during the course of a regular meeting, the extended meeting. But we take no action in executive session. We'll come back here formally to close the meeting, but essentially that's it. So you're welcome to stick around.
Did you do the roll call?
Oh.
Oh.
We did not.
We did not.
Bruce Swinker?
Yes.
Debbie Berry?
Yes.
Thank you.